Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kaynes Technology India Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kaynes Technology's 4Q FY23 earnings call. From the management side today we have with us Mr. Ramesh Kunhikannan, Founder and Managing Director, Mr. Jairam Sampath, Whole-time Director and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Neeraj Vinayak, AVP Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir, for your opening remarks.
Thank you, Dhruv. Good evening, friends. First, I would like to extend my sincerest apologies for the need to reschedule our earnings call yesterday. Unfortunately, due to an unforeseen delay in our board meeting, it had become necessary to adjust our plans. I understand that your time is valuable, and I deeply regret any inconvenience that this delay may have caused. Please know that we deeply value your time and commitment. Thank you for your patience and understanding. I would like to welcome everyone present on the call from the entire team of Kaynes Technology. I have along with me on the call Mr. Jairam Sampath, our CFO, and Mr. Neeraj, our investor relationship, and Orient Capital, our investor relations partners. I also have Rajesh Sharma, our CEO, with me. Before I start with this business update, I would like to briefly introduce the company to all of the participants. Founded in 1988, Kaynes Technology is a leading end-to-end and IoT solution-enabled integrated electronics manufacturer in India. We have capabilities across the entire spectrum of ESDM service. We have an experience in providing conceptual design, process engineering, integrated manufacturing, and lifecycle support for major players in the automotive, industrial, aerospace and defense, outer space, nuclear, medical, railway, Internet of Things, information technology, and the other segments. Our advanced manufacturing infrastructure enables us to undertake a high mix, high value addition of products across industry verticals with the ability to produce such products at variable or flexible volume. We have a well-diversified portfolio of around 350+ customers in 26 countries across multiple industry verticals. Coming to our performance for the quarter ended March 31, 2023, our total revenue was 3,646 million, registering a growth of 53% year-on-year. On the year-to-year basis, our total revenue was 11,261 million, registering a growth of 59%. Our growth was largely led by strong demand in automotive, railway, IoT, and consumer verticals. Our order books as on March 31, 2023 stood at INR 26,482 million. Our company has been profitable for the last three decades, and we are focused on delivering value to our clients. Our FY23 EBITDA was INR 1,683 million compared to INR 937 million last year. Our FY23 PAT stands at INR 952 million compared to INR 417 million in FY22. We have executed orders that are higher value and leading to increased margin and higher profitability. We continue to witness strong order flow, and to meet the growing needs, we are exploring our facilities along with upgrading the existing ones. We are working on improving our working capital, and we are confident that we will bring it down further in the coming days. I will now hand over the call to Jairam to take the financials through each one of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arkit. Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this call. I will be presenting the financial performance of our company for the period ended 31st March 2023. For the quarter ended 31st March 2023, our consolidated total revenue was INR 3646 million, representing a 26% quarter-on-quarter growth and a 53% year-on-year growth. Our consolidated year-to-date revenue was INR 11,261 million, reflecting a 59% year-on-year growth. The consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was INR 594 million, showing a 48% year-on-year increase and a 44% quarter-on-quarter increase. The EBITDA margin for the quarter was 16.3% compared to 14.2% for the Q3 and 16.8% for Q4 of FY22. The consolidated year-to-date EBITDA was INR 1683 million, up about 80% year-on-year, and the EBITDA margin was 14.9% as compared to 13.3% for the year FY22. Our consolidated PAT for the quarter was INR 413 million, up 81% quarter-on-quarter and up 108% year-on-year, with a PAT margin of 11.3% compared to 7.9% for Q3 and 8.3% for Q4 of last year. The consolidated year-to-date PAT was 953 million, up 128% year-on-year, and PAT margin was 8.5% as compared to 5.9% in FY22. Our ROE and ROCE, adjusted for unutilized portions of proceeds, is at 24.9% and 24.2% respectively for FY23. We had an increase in cash and cash equivalents, which stood at INR 4860 million as compared to INR 216 million in the previous year, primarily due to the IPO proceeds. Net working capital for FY23 was at 99 days on an annualized basis, similar to FY22 number. Our inventory was higher, but has seen reductions in both receivables and payable days by 1230 days in the FY23. Coming to our expansion plan, we have allocated INR 989 million towards CapEx to expand and upgrade our facilities in Mysore, Manesar, and Bengaluru and Chennai, and acquired 120,000 square feet built-up space in Manesar, which is expected to be operationalized by Q1 of this year. Additionally, we have earmarked INR 1493 million for investments into Kane's Electronics Manufacturing Private Limited for setting up a new facility in Chamarajanagar, Karnataka, whose first phase to be operationalized by Q2 of this year. India is now positioned as a global hub for electronic system design and manufacturing, and we believe that we are rightly placed to capitalize this opportunity. With this, I would request all participants to come in with their questions. I now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The first question is from the line of Maulik Shah from Haitong Securities. So please go ahead.
Hello?
Mr. Shah, please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, Maulik.
Yeah, this is Rahul Gadre from Haitong. So I have got a couple of questions. Can you talk about new customers that were added? You did talk about in the opening remark, you know, that you have 300 plus customers. But any new customers that you've added in this particular year? And what is the kind of potential business that you see from such customers? That's the first question.
Sure. So one of the things is that unless we get a clear approval from our customer, we can't actually put their names in public domain, but I can describe those customers to you. So we will take segment by segment the orders. To begin with, we had a new customer, Nivi. He's an export customer. So this customer, there is a huge business in terms of various types of boards which are standard in EV, charger boards, and these are for high-end cars. So this was added during this in period of last 5 months or so. In the area of medical, we have added a new customer in the critical care segment. He's a European customer, and they are a very large critical care and surgical equipment manufacturing company, product company, and we have finally completed the audit for, successfully completed the audit for supply. So this year we might see some pilot lots going through this medical customer. In terms of IT, one of the largest semiconductor companies in the world, we've qualified and started the supplies for production of laptops for specific usage within India. And similarly, there are other areas like defense and aerospace. We've already had a customer. We've now completed the pilot lots, and there were a couple of visits from them. And hopefully, going forward into this year, we'll start doing some serial production work for them. Yeah, Mr. Gadre.
Yeah. So, sir, my second question is on, you know, on the working capital side. Now, you have indicated earlier, you know, that you had put in a team together to work on improving the working capital. So can you please highlight the key areas that they're working on? And is there a specific target that they have? Is there a certain ground that they have already covered? And along with this, you know, what would be your ROC target that you're working with, you know, over the next 2 or 3 years?
Sure. So as far as working capital is concerned, even though the figures look a little higher for the inventories and so on, but maybe also the reason, one of the main reasons why we probably did not cross the 1200 number is also the fact that certain imbalanced inventories were with us, and certain components, as you know, last year was a year of difficult supply chain conditions. And so certain components did not come for want of value components. We could not, you know, convert almost close to 60-70 crores of orders. And of course, this will get converted during this month and the next. So that kind of makes the inventory look a little all right. But we have discussed with all the distributors, there are two areas which we have discussed with them. One area is to ask them for local supply, which we have talked earlier also. So they are in the process of giving us a proposal by which wherein they will keep a warehouse either in Mysore or in Bangalore so that we can cut down some on the lead time. The second issue is also we have taken up with them about the on-time supplies from their side. Because as you know, in a month, the supplies come more inclined towards the end of the month, and that is causing 15-20 days of delays in conversion. So these are the two areas that we have talked to them. So this is as far as inventory is concerned. As far as receivables is concerned, I think we have made a good progress. So more progress to be done. This is in terms of getting some supply chain financing, and all the large customers now, as part of the RFQ response itself, we are taking up with them on the receivables front. So I think going forward that this will further improve. On payables front, we have deliberately set the dial at low payables. This is to get favorable you know, attention from our suppliers. Because last year, we have had one of the toughest supply chain issues in electronics, wherein there were delays, etc. So we have made sure that suppliers do not you know, prioritize us for want of any commercial this thing, you know. So this is happening now, and we have also, like I said, we are discussing with suppliers for more to get local supplies done and, you know, on-time supplies done, so that benefit will outweigh this whatever minor increase in payables. All in all, we have put a team together. They are essentially from supply chain and logistics people. And by doing these kinds of activities, we will not only save on the inventory days, we will also save on the logistics costs. Because our suppliers are much larger than us and they can get in the material, especially on the imports, which is 60% of our purchases, at a smaller cost. So this team is working already. We are seeing some results. So during this year, we will definitely do the improvements that's required in terms of number of days of working capital. And our aim is another couple of years time should go to about in the 70s, you know, from whatever 98, 99 days that we are seeing now. I think we're confident it will happen. One more thing to note is that last year, you know, even though we had made plans, etc., in terms of our number of days, etc., it was expected that we will launch our IPO in September, but it actually, as you know, it got done only in November. We kind of lost some two, three precious months. But never mind, we are picking up those lost ground now and on the back of very strong demand and industry tailwinds. So hopefully, when we exit this year and the next, we will have significant improvements in our impact.
So my last question before I join back the queue is on the profitability. Now, I recollect, you know, you had indicated that you will do 1,200 crores of revenue in this particular year. And I think the explanation on supply chain disruption explains why you marginally fell short of that number. But you're fairly confident of achieving the 1,800 crores that you were talking about, along with margin expansion. Is that something that we can assume for FY24?
Yeah, FY24, I think we had, if I recall correctly, we had talked about 1,700 crores. And of course, if you were to just add one positive thing, whatever the backlog of last year, we will add it to this because all the materials are there. So I think we will definitely exceed the number that we had projected, talked about last time. And in terms of profitability, it will be superior to what we have in FY23.
Sure, sir. I have more questions, but I'll join back the queue. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Gajan. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So the first question is on the order book. We have a very strong order book of 2650 crores. If I can just get the vertical split, which is between the different segments and what is the timeline that we're looking to execute, because if you're doing about 1,800 crores next year, you know, does that mean that it kind of spills over into 25, or can there be a faster delivery of execution of this order book?
So thank you, Bhumika ji, nice to hear from you on this order book question. You see, fundamentally, our business has not changed dramatically over the last 4 months. So the composition of order book remains similar to our business composition. The only thing, it will start changing once all these discussions that we have on large businesses, whether it is EV segment, whether it is industrial, whether it's medical, whether it's aerospace, once those get converted into business, those orders will get in. So the proportion of various verticals is similar to what business that we have been doing for FY23, which is similar to FY22, give or take a few percent. Now, coming to the execution timeline for this, obviously, this represents about 1.5 years worth of orders for us. So we should execute, and of course, during this year, FY24, we'll get further orders for execution this year. So that's the challenge that we have dealt with. We are working very hard to add capacities beyond what we have earlier declared, that is Chamarajnagar and expansion of Mysore and Manesar. We'll come back to you once we finalize on those aspects of the plan. So we are gearing up for having to deliver more than what we have on order on hand right now, because there could be other orders coming in. So this 26,042 million represents 1.5 years worth of orders. And 1,700 of these for sure will get done this year, FY24, plus some backlog of last year, some 70-80 odd crores will also probably get added. And then remaining will go to FY25. But we are trying our best to make sure that we try to give an early delivery date for all of this. So as and when we make progress in terms of capacity addition, we'll certainly come back to you.
Sure. Sir, in terms of the working capital and, you know, the component shortages particularly that you spoke about, you know, in the supply chain, obviously we are trying to push more for local sourcing and on time, etc. But, you know, is the supply chain starting to ease off, or does that still remain a challenge for which we need to keep, you know, from a payable perspective, because that number of days has come down and, you know, led to higher working capital. So how is that kind of situation easing off, or is it still remains very challenging?
Yeah. So what do you see as challenges are the remnants of the delayed lead times, etc., for some critical components. So we think that once the global tensions cool down a little bit, and also the capacity enhancement in semiconductors happen, so this problem will probably be reduced. On the other hand, your point is very well taken that we must try to indigenize. So we are working on two areas which we have talked about culturally last time. One is bare PCB manufacture, for which we have now found a collaborator, and we are discussing intensely. So the moment we come up with a plan for execution, we'll come to you. This is bare PCB, which is about 8% of the total value of sales. So that will ease out some burdens in the bare PCB supply chain. And in terms of components, we are talking about examining OSAT, that is outsourced semiconductor assembly and testing. So which is in preliminary stage right now. We've done all the due diligence required to understand this sector, and we've got good partnerships ahead of us. Once something concrete comes in, we'll certainly come back to you with all, but that will also ease out certain components. And just like we are doing it, there are other companies who are setting up capacities in both fab as well as fab probably will take a few years to bear fruit, but this OSAT kind of things are happening now more intensely. So we can expect that the supply chain related lead time issues and, you know, the unreliability, etc., will come down into the future.
Got it, sir. I have more questions, but I'll come back in the question queue. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Uttari.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just one clarification. You said that 1,700 crore top line for next year and margins will be higher than what we reported in FY23. You did about 14.9% EBITDA margin in this year. So whether we should look at the percentage margin, you're trying to say it will go further higher, or it's the absolute EBITDA growth you are talking about would be higher next year?
Okay. See, there's a logic I can provide. We also have orders. So assuming that we don't have any other, disruptions in the marketplace and in the environment, we are saying that some more operating leverage will kick in. Now, okay, Exactly what that number will be, we'll have to actually do it and show it to you guys. So in absolute terms, certainly the EBITDA number will increase. And in percentage terms, it is showing an upward trend so far. And we expect further kicking in of the operating leverage, which will definitely improve the EBITDA percentage also. But the exact quantum of it, we'll probably have to estimate as we go along. Maybe after a couple of quarters later, we'll be for sure, you know, whether it has gone up or not.
God, no, that's helpful. I just wanted to understand where it is coming from. Helpful. So in terms of the big pipeline, whether it's automotive, industrial and railways, can you throw some light in terms of the content, how it is increasing for you, let's say in automotive, and year on year, how much the value addition would have increased, if let's say in a per unit terms or a content terms, if you can throw some light, and the future pipeline which you're seeing in terms of bits, whether it's let's say making the PCBs for the chargers or in the automotive segment or let's say for the railways, how the really content is moving, if you can help us that.
Sure. I'll take this question by each vertical. So in automotive, what is happening is that we are now started getting inquiries for some box build. That means complete production of products. From earlier, most of the automotive business was in PCB assembly. So obviously, the box build gives us a bigger opportunity to do value addition and also binds the customer closer to us. So in automotive, it is the increased amount of box build RFQs that we are getting. In terms of industrial, now we are again box build kind of deals, and larger per unit price is likely to happen in the area of industrial. And in the railway segment has been our prime segment. And we are getting back inquiries on products which we have done earlier 3-4 years back. There was a time when railway used to be one of the largest segments for us. So today we have started to get some strong inquiries in the area of railway. So obviously, as a portfolio, if the percentage of railways go up, it helps in the gross margin contribution. And the quality of, so in terms of, let's say, the kind of products that we are doing, so we are discussing with companies such as the one that I talked about in Europe. And companies like the one that I talked about in Europe, so that will all be full box built and will be on technology transfer. This is for the medical business. So this is the kind of change that we see in our total portfolio that is happening.
Thank you very much, sir. I'll come back in the queue for more questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renu Baid from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. So my first question is on the railway segment. Given that some of your customers are sitting with a very large order book for with visibility for almost 8 to 10 years, what is the kind of growth you are expecting in this business over the next 3 years? If you can help us quantify. And are we seeing any expansion of portfolio apart from core signaling telecom equipment that we have been working in the segment?
Perfect. Ramesh, you will answer this question, Ramesh.
Yeah, this is a subject which I like. So, see, as far as this is concerned, we are already having around 8 to 10 development activity going on. And this is fully with our control. So, the actual delivery will happen only 24 onwards, and it will be there for 9-10 years. We are closely working with
any input on the scope of the work?
Today we are talking about only PCB assemblies, but rack wiring and other things will come going forward.
Okay.
Yeah, there are three different types of businesses in railways. So one is the wayside, which is signaling, which is called the railway signaling, we call it. The other one is metro signaling. And the third one is onboard equipment, like the rack wiring that he's talking about. And we are now having active new RFQs in each one of these three segments. So, for instance, for trains like Vande Bharat, there is a lot of inquiries and a lot of demand projected because government has plans to introduce them in a lot of sectors. So, there are customers who have technology for this and they are actively working with the government of India. So they have also reached out to us because they were our earlier customers. So they will all come and then so onboard equipment, we will get significant business going forward to the future. And metro is also coming back. Some of the clients who were importing, they have been asked to do local sourcing. So they have come back again to reevaluate us and then get back into that. And of course, whatever business that is going on already with our existing clients in the signaling system, that is also going on.
So just wanted some clarification to help us quantify the value of these RFQs that you are receiving in terms of order pipeline. What could be these numbers and value in terms of size and scale? Because the value of the end projects for customer runs into thousands of crores, but for your
normally, Renuji, the way it works is based on whatever in the past we have done, it's a project is worth 100 crores for our customer, OEM. Only 10% of that will come into areas like signaling. Now, areas like rack wiring, the percentage may be lower. So, we can roughly assume that about 10%, sub 10%, 9 to 10% of the total value of projects is likely to flow into this kind of an area. Of course, for the sake of confidentiality, we really can't exactly say how much will come to us. But this is a ballpark number for you to kind of...
We have a clear instruction from customer that this cannot be leaked out.
Got it. So secondly, if we look at the broad annualized number way back in March when we spoke and the end of Feb, we were very confident of 1250 crores kind of revenues. You highlighted 60-70 crores of revenues getting impacted because of component shortages. But still, there is a gap of what we delivered and what was expected. And profit numbers clearly versus 110 crores, something like 95 crores. While some of the supply chain constraints may continue this year, political uncertainties remain at the global level, geopolitical level. In terms of your comfort for FY 2024 guidance of 1,700 crores plus the slippages of almost 100 crores is 1,800 crores. What in your view could be the risk for you to miss on this number? In terms of segments, which are the key segments which will deliver this incremental delta in revenue terms?
Yeah. Renuji, you're right about some orders, like I said, and I think beginning of the call, about 70 crore worth of orders kind of got postponed to this year because we didn't have all the components. It has also strained our working capital a little bit, and it has not allowed us to improve on the net working capital days. Having said that, we also said that we'll execute it now. Right now it's a very fluid situation. We have orders for this year for sure, for 1,700 crores. Now, the question is, during this year, we will get some orders and how much of it will convert. We'll have to really go back and examine as and when those orders arrive. When we commit, maybe this quarter or the next, we will come back, you know, with our analysis, how much we will do. Now, we don't want to give a specific number here, but certainly, the risks are reducing in the supply chain. On a specific question about semiconductor delays, et cetera. Risks are reducing and our sense is that, I think even global factors, et cetera, net-net, the supply chain comfort will be better than last year. Now, that's again a qualitative statement. We can't 100% assure that, you know, some country will not attack some other country and so on. Barring those kinds of big issues, I think you can expect better confidence on execution of numbers that we are talking about, you know, this year. Specific numbers we can't give you because we really don't know for sure the specific number.
Thank you. Ms. Baid, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Amar Maurya from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, and congratulations for a very good set of numbers. Sir, my question is more from the OCF generation perspective. If I see, like, you know, FY 2021, we were having almost around OCF to EBITDA conversion of about 60% plus. Now, in FY 2022 and 2023, both year, like, you know, OCF conversion is very, very weak. I mean, bulk of it is because of the working capital. How do you see basically it is going to, you know, pan out, let's say, in 2024 and 2025?
Yeah. Mr. Maurya, thank you. Thank you for the question. It's a very insightful question. See, the issue is that OCF to EBITDA is a kind of not a very linear progressing metric. It is like almost a digital metric, right? If you're doing well, it is high. If you're not doing well, it'll be negative, you know. Now this year and the last year, ironically, the company did better because of the growth and our investments into especially the component of inventories have gone up. Whatever savings or whatever improvements we have made in receivables, we have flowed it back into payables. Net-net, you see a kind of a negative OCF. But never mind. This year, I think we probably will get out of that situation. Unless of course, we have a situation where some more investments have to be done to, you know, examine and to do execute a larger order book. Let me tell you, even though the number doesn't look very great, but it's a healthy sign because the investments have gone into productive assets. One is inventory, which helps us to execute the orders, and B, which is reducing payables, which helps us in terms of better relationship with suppliers and gets us better pricing and gets us, you know, whatever things that we require from the suppliers in terms of allocation and all that.
Okay. Basically you are saying that, you know, this was the worst and from here on the situation should improve from the OCF to EBITDA conversion perspective.
Yes, sir. Definitely. Definitely. See, the thing is, it depends on what is your horizon. In stable businesses, you are right, OCF to EBITDA can be a good number and we can maintain it. In our businesses, every time there is a, let's say, a jerk up in the sense, there's an increase in the turnover which is more than the average increases. Like right now we are seeing the 60% types of increases. There will be some little effect on that. Never mind, that's a productive use of the cash because of the growth.
Okay. Secondly, sir, like, you know, going into, like, you know, FY 2024, what is the kind of tax rate we should assume?
Sorry, could you repeat that last?
Tax rate would be 25%, right?
Tax rate, you see, effective tax rate will improve once we start doing some business in our subsidiary called KEMPL. And
okay.
So we don't know exactly how much will go through it. It will improve from whatever tax rate that we have assumed for FY 2023. It will improve. Now, how much exact percentage, we'll work out maybe post two quarters, and we can brief you. By the time, we'll have a stable information.
Okay. Perfect, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Smith, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, is my voice audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are, Mr.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations, sir, and the whole team there, right? It's a great set of numbers you have tried to give in this period of time. The only question I would like to ask, sir, like, I see has a in our complete portfolio, right, I see the IT hardware component is quite less, right? And the growth of opportunity is quite big, and there is also some PLI scheme 2.0, which is going to come in. So do you see as an opportunity where our company can contribute and grow more faster in that area also?
IT.
See, the future of electronics, in that, IT is one good area where things are going to improve. India is planning large number of data centers, large number of deployment. Even today, if you see the statistics, only 45% for population is even
having IT.
Having IT infrastructure. So what I'm trying to tell is, this is one area which will grow, and if you see, large companies are coming to India, they are also supporting people like us, so definitely India will grow in this.
So we also started manufacturing laptops in a small way, so it will take. So that answers your question, that going forward in future, we look forward to some good business in that case.
Okay, sir. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Mohan from Ashika Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the great set of numbers. Sir, I have a specific question on what is your coming plan for CapEx and if needed, for I just see that Pune is coming up. So what is your plan for Pune plant, and what is your CapEx plan over the next 2 years?
Yeah. So what happens is whenever. Thanks, Mr. Kaushik, for your question. So CapEx, we already disclosed during the objects of the offer itself, 260 crores in three plants, Chamarajanagar, Mysore, and Manesar, and then some more from our own earnings, et cetera, flowed back into other plants, so we are enhancing. So obviously, the other additional locations are being planned to cater to the additional requirements. So we have also kind of rough calculation we did. We said that the newer facilities and augmentation is tripling our capacity. So that was in sometime this year. So obviously, tripling capacity means whatever CapEx we have is good for, let's say, nearer to somewhere between 2,700 crore and 3,000 crore kind of number. But the capacity enhancement also takes a lead time. So we are planning to make sure that we start thinking about newer factories, because now we have almost. So we listed in November. That point in time, we had one new factory. Subsequent to that, we are now talking about another one, and so on. So this is an ongoing process with without me taking a specific location. Every quarter, we need to reassess our capacities based on the RFQs that we are getting and the customer requirements, and we will be, I know, adding the planning and adding the capacities. And whatever existing resources there are, we definitely are able to raise finances that's required for the growth of our ESDM business, you know.
Got it, sir. Sir, another additional question that, sir, with the current kind of CapEx, and current kind of setup what you have, what can be the optimal revenue can be achieved with this?
Yeah, including the investment that we will complete based on the objects of the offer, we should triple the capacity. So we probably, like I said, 2,700 crore-3,000 crore of revenues can be done with whatever capacities that have been funded already. Of course, many of it is a work in process. Some of it is yet to be expended. So that's the number.
Got it. Thanks, sir. Thanks for that. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradyumna Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So I have three questions. First, more on the demand side, like definitely we have a very strong order book right now. But are we seeing any sort of weakness in any of the verticals that we are serving? Second is more on the, like recently there was a WTO ruling against India regarding import duties on certain IT components and integrated circuits. So would it have any sort of impact on a company like us? And third, from a longer term perspective, which verticals do you see the biggest opportunity in, and how big, like could you give some idea on how big is the current market? Because definitely we are seeing very, very good growth across players, especially you guys. So just wanted to get a sense on the longer term opportunity as well.
Yeah. So in terms of strength of demand, the different industry verticals have a different horizon. So certain verticals, supposing you take the large volume, high volume, mass volume verticals like consumer, etc., the horizon itself is small. So any comment you make cannot be taken for a long term. So nobody can say today that how much mobile phone or TV or some other consumer appliance will be consumed after 1 year. So it is completely dependent on a lot of other factors. Some of them are macroeconomic, and some of them probably are lifestyle choice. But when you come to the non-consumer type of sectors, majority of our business is that sector. So these have a long-term theme, and they are a little slower in terms of their change. But of course, they do change depending on some long-term trends that one can see. So as of now, we have not got any information to tell us that there is any weakening of demand. That's primarily linked to your second question that you had asked, or maybe the third one, about how we are affected by WTO asking us to play fair on various aspects. Actually, it has been the other way around. India was unfairly importing stuff from outside. So what we are saying is, what government is saying is, you purchase it in India and give them the same price. There's no need to give a preferential pricing for us. And if that alone is done, that will multiply the businesses of companies who is into this sector. I'm talking about non-consumer sector within the country. So that is not likely to affect in any major way. Mr. Chaudhary, what was the last question? If I have not answered.
So more from a longer term perspective, like maybe 5 years down the line, which vertical do you see the biggest opportunity in? And generally, how big is the market where we operate?
Sure. So I can speak from the perspective of our company. So some of the underrepresented, quote-unquote, underrepresented verticals in our business portfolio, one is, of course, the glaring omission is telecom. And then other is something like IT, and the third one is something like your medical. They are comparatively smaller in size compared to the others. So we see that there is a lot of growth in the infrastructure for 5G, not only in India, across the world, I think. And with the new global realignments happening, we see next big demands coming up there. Of course, that demand will be fulfilled by different types of companies. Some of it will come to companies like us. So telecom is one strong growth segment. Second is IT. IT is because this is there's a huge growth of IT in India. India's IT penetration now, again, there's, I would say, this kind of a resurgence of IT within India, because IT has now become like infrastructure. It's like roads or telephone lines, so all these servers and all these things will connect people and help. So that's the other sector. And as far as we are concerned, there is a lot of demand growth also in the areas like medical. And we were always looking for one large client, and I think we are now onto it. So these are some sectors that you can expect some good growth from our company's perspective.
Understood. So, and just a counter question on your point regarding WTO. I didn't actually understand, like, are you talking about some reverse duty structure which was in place earlier? like where probably what we were importing was being taxed while what we manufacture was manufacture was not being taxed when being imported, whereas what we were importing was being taxed. Like, was that the case earlier and now that's been corrected, is it so?
Yeah, possibly some reclassification, some little hide and seek. But in principle, what happened is that the government is now telling the corporates that if you are able to buy the same equipment at the same price within India, why would you import it? Now, from government perspective, very valid question. From the company's perspective, since they are global multinationals having technology, they would like to have value addition on their books rather than on the books of Indian companies. So that is a kind of a, what shall I say, political seesaw that India saw. And looks like Indian government is winning on that because now we become a very large country. With, if I dare say, maximum amount of capex budget over the next several years for these kinds of industries, you know. So I think so that's what is happening. A kind of normalization is happening. I don't want to allege that people were the wrongly classifying or whatever, but the fact of the matter is that on head-to-head basis, on equal terms basis, Indian companies are competitive in those areas. You know, I am not talking about consumer. I am talking about non-consumer areas.
So there's no, even on imports, we can match the prices and all. There's no issue with regards to that. In case the WTO ruling stands, so it could not really affect us.
Yeah, it should not affect us. It should not affect us.
Thank you. Mr. Chaudhary, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Koam Chuk from Birla Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon and congratulations on a strong set of numbers. So my first question is on our export revenue. So export growth was more muted than the overall business. So what has really prevented the scale up of the export business? Because initially we were expecting exports to grow faster than India revenue. So what has happened this year that's held back export growth?
Yeah. So exports, like I always say, that the exports and domestics are driven by two different factors. The domestic business increase is driven by import substitution. The export business primarily is driven by shifting of manufacturing base from, say, South Asia or China to India. The growth in exports is there, but it is as a percentage of total has not grown. It is probably same or coming down. That's because of the outstripping of the projections for domestic business. But as we go forward in some of the areas, I did mention earlier in the call, areas like medical electronics, then there are areas like the industrial area, etc. We're likely to get some good export traction, and you will start seeing it, seeing exports becoming a larger percentage. So first it has to cross the 20% mark. At some point in time in our portfolio, exports used to be almost one-third. So now it's become one-fifth. I think it will be movement. Now it's, you can say that the pendulum is now going to swing back. And 2-3 years time, quickly the exports will probably come back to 25-30% kind of number.
So of our current order book of about 2,500 crores, how much is from export orders and how much is domestic orders?
See, right now, I don't have the number in front of me, but my sense is between 15% and 20% is exports, remaining is domestic. And as we go forward into the year, we might see that shift a little bit in favor of exports.
Okay. And just finally on our inventory, it continued to rise this year as well. So where are we in terms of the supply chain issues normalizing and what is your projection for end of year inventory for FY24?
Yeah, so we had anticipated that we would have made about, I think last time when I spoke to you all, even during the call, etc., we said that between 5 and 7 days of net working capital improvement would have been there last year. We unfortunately didn't do that. That's I think I did explain about some little amount of business not being done because of certain non-availability. But that I think we'll make up, and this year end, we certainly will go to 80s in terms of number of days of working capital, net working capital. So that's the reduction. Primarily comes by better utilization of inventory and number of days of inventory reduction. So that's your answer.
Thank you. Mr. Chug, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ISEC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. What are the PLI benefits that are available to us, and what was the PLI benefit that we actually accounted in FY23? Yeah, that's it.
Sir, FY23, we have not taken any major benefit in the PLI. We have approval for two PLIs. One is white goods PLI, the other one is telecom PLI, and we have applied for the IT products PLI too. Now, this year, we are likely to operationalize for sure some little business in telecom and even in white goods. Though consumer products are not a big suite for us, but we'll certainly make sure that we fulfill the requirements of the PLI, which is like 30 crores of investment and 100 crores of business, which we can all easily do because the investment into white goods PLI is for generic machinery. So this year you can see some little application of that, those profits. Now coming to benefits, these PLIs give you a direct benefits in the amount of production that you do. They are production linked incentive. Based on your sales number, I think first year, second year, third year, fourth year and fifth year, depending on the type of PLI, it is either 6, 6, 5, 4, 3, those kinds of numbers, percentage of total sales that is given to you as an incentive. So in the initial 5 years, if you run the PLI, you do get an average benefit of anywhere between 3 to 6%.
Okay. Okay, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Yoshi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur Patel from 360 One AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for excellent set of numbers. Most of the questions got answered, but if you can just give some breakup of this 2,600 crores of order book in terms of segments or any large orders which you have got, any color would be highly appreciated.
Yeah, Mr. Patel, thank you for your question. I think this I briefly mentioned. This order book is exactly in the same proportion as our sales, which is, automotive, industrial, railway, etc. It's similar to the proportion. So obviously, this means that these are all organic growth order book. That means existing clients who have given us more orders. And like I mentioned earlier, there will be accretion to the order book, addition to the order book in certain areas where we are discussing with clients. And as and when they come, we probably quarterly when we kind of talk about our new orders, we will describe these. So it's not very different because it's been only, I think, 5, 6 months since we listed. And we've been kind of, so this is not sufficient time to change the complexion. But new RFQs that we discussed, in various areas, that is going to definitely alter this percentage. But that is not part of the order book yet.
Okay, and given that like this order book gives you the visibility of 1,700 crores which you are guiding, but given the pipeline, is there any way to guide us on what is the likely order inflow over next 1 year?
We have to kind of actually, in order to put a guidance, we need to know for sure what is happening. If you can talk about trends. So obviously, the trend has been over the last 18 months, the increase in order book. So you can make your own simple conclusion that that is likely to increase. And we as a company have to find ways and means of making sure that whatever orders that come in, we try and service it as early as possible. So every quarter, we'll definitely come back to you and say what are the improvements and so on. And from there, we will take it up. But we are not going to give up any order. Just because we have enough orders for the year, we will instead convert that into a problem of finding capacity. So earlier, I think Mr. Kaushik had asked the question about additional capacity. So we said that we are already looking for next two plants where to put. So that is the direction in which we'll work. And we'll certainly come keep you posted every quarter about the actual benefits that we have got.
Just last thing from my side, the company is on a very high growth path undoubtedly, and the outlook looks really promising. Already a lot of questions have been discussed around working capital. See, the thing is 413 crores of inventory, because of the average inventory, the 104 days looks still okay. That creates a drag in cash flows, because that's like a sizable part of, say, 1,126 crores of top line. So I hope this is apart from growth, this is an area of top priority to generate cash at the operating levels and net of working capital, despite being on a high growth. Is it fair to assume that is an important part of the strategy?
Yeah. I think this is a top operating strategy for us to make sure that suppliers perform both in terms of all the aspects, QCD, quality, cost, and delivery. Having said that, the increased inventory from what we are supposed to have theoretically has got three components. One is availability of all components in set, So certain components, so that's what kind of let us down a little bit last year. Some 70 odd crores of material, if we had the balancing material, which may be less than a few lakhs, we could have probably converted that. So we are working on that. That has several other aspects like availability of material, money availability of that has been now nailed. Now ordering on time and so on, and then of course the global supply chain. The second reason is where we buy from. So that we have discussed with suppliers to put local stock. We are discussing whether to put the warehouse in Mysore or in Bangalore and what are the terms, etc. So we have some positive movement there. So we are pushing that envelope pretty hard. And the third constituent of in which basically inventory is the native constituent, which is how much business you do in each area. So that we don't want to change because it is balanced by the higher margins you expect in the slower moving areas. So all in all, we define our inventory problem as sort of minimization, but optimum inventory, which gives us the maximum profits. So we are working our efforts on that direction.
Sure, absolutely. All the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Patel. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Lodaya from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations on good set of numbers. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question was on this bareboard aggregator you mentioned earlier in the call. So what exactly we are trying to do there?
You are talking about bareboard manufacturer,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So are we going to manufacture or it is just arrangement to source?
No, we are going to manufacture. So if you say printed circuit board assemblies or box build, if you take, it has got a box, it's got a display, it's got wires, it has got a printed circuit board assembly. Printed circuit board assembly has got several thousands of components and one particular board, which is the printed circuit board. Now, this one board, typically in our business, about 8% of the total sale is this value alone. Now, every printed circuit board, obviously, we can't do because we'll have then put in a lot of money. So what we have decided is to put high quality printed circuit board that is multiple layers and high tech products where the margins are very high. That means if I buy a 10 layer or a 16 layer board from let's say China or Switzerland or someplace, the margins are pretty high on that. And those are the capacities that we want to build in India. And we are talking to collaborators and we already, it's in advanced stages. So we'll set up capacities in those areas so that out of this 8%, maybe let's say on a ballpark about 4% of this thing we do, then we can start saving about 2% of that, because of high margin nature. So we will actually manufacture the boards. And we will not only do supply to our company, we'll supply to other companies too.
Right. And this would be like technology tie-up or it could be more JV kind of thing? And what kind of, initial investment do you think? And go?
Yeah. So this and there are some other areas we talked about, OSAT, etc. So these are all eventually will be high in investment, but these are scalable investments. So to begin with, it will not be anything more than what we had talked in objects. We have a corporate, general corporate purposes, we have raised some money. So some part of it we will invest as initial capital into this. And we'll think about raising funds once we have the entire thing in place. It's a technological collaboration and the new generation of machines and so on. And this business, whether it's a JV or whether it's going to be floated in the existing company, this is under discussion right now. suffice it to say that this will be fully examined, and we don't want a very high initial capital commitment to this, because there are a few projects that we are looking at, so we cannot really do lots of large capital investments. We want to keep our company asset light as much as possible without losing any opportunity for profitability. So we will come back to you, but broadly the plan is to make sure that all the complex PCB, bare PCBs are done under our umbrella so that we can partake in the profits there.
Right. And what is the capex for FY24?
FY24, like we said, I think about out of 260 crores that we raised, about 40 crores is already utilized in either CWIP or capital already employed. The remaining 220 crores over next couple of quarters, we will consume about 100 crores and balance of the year remaining also. So we will finish this entire 260 minus 40 crores this year.
Got it. And just lastly, is there any progress on our subsidiary product engineering and IoT solution? Is there any update there?
Yes, there are a lot of opportunities there. We've already placed the CEO of this business, Kensis Technologies, is sitting in the US, and he has made some good progress there. We are also contemplating on doing a small roadshow in the US for our business, going across and telling them the width of services that we offer. And there is also a very positive, positive mood in the US for collaboration with India. So along with that, we think that this solutions business will also take off. There is a lot of progress in terms of getting, let's say, customer acceptance and field installations, etc. So we stand firm that, you know, FY23 maybe definitely will do significant amount of business in this year.
Got it. And the box bill share for FY24 will also look similar to FY23, or we might see material difference there?
No, right now it is similar because the growth is organic, but it will go up during this year.
Got it. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Chiragi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Shah from Ambit AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question was that what is the R&D expense for FY23 as a percentage of sales? And what are we currently working on for research and development for newer sectors such as e-mobility or aerospace and defense? I just wanted to know some progress over there.
Right. So R&D as a percentage of our sales for FY23 would have been in the range of 1.1 to 1.2%. And going forward, probably this might even go up a little bit as we go into more ODM projects. Okay. So that is the thing. And second question was on aerospace and defense, right, Rusha?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So aerospace and defense, subsequent to our call, etc., twice our major customer with whom we have got a qualification has come and visited, and they are that business is going to take shape in FY24. So you can see some significant increase in the total revenues in the aerospace and defense sector. Substantial increase.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, we will take that as a last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, on behalf of Keynes team, I would like to thank all the participants for attending today's conference call. You can reach out to our team in case of any further clarifications required on shared details. We look forward to your continuous support and engagement in upcoming quarters. Thank you very much once again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.